it's announced it's having a sale time. Virgin Trains.
Cough Base Sivon, Tuesday the 9th of June, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, the Torah's first font.
So I heard somebody say the Torah's original font, and that is actually the issue in terms of whether it's first or original, as we shall see. That is the Inyan. So there are, I've given out some Makoros over here, and one of them is the first one I'd like to go through inside, because that will set the scene. It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Amalav Zutra V'Yitem Mar Ukva. B'tchila Nitna Torah Yisrael B'Ksav Ivri V'Loshna Kodesh. Originally, the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael in Ksav Ivri V'Loshna Kodesh. Implication, the passages of the Gemara, is that the Luchos were given to Klal Yisrael in Ksav Ivri V'Loshna Kodesh. Then in the days of Ezra, it was re-given, so stated in the Gemara, in Ksav Ashuris, which is a Ksav we are more familiar with, and Lashon Arami. So there were two changes. The original Ksav was Ksav Ivri. By the way, I actually do have some sheets, which I would like back, with copies of a different type of Ksav.
Those listening in.
Yes, those listening in black and white. So I'm going to pass a few of these around just to see the differences. This is from there's an enormous amount of material on this topic, both in Lashon HaKodesh and also in English. This comes from an excellent sefer, which I've noted at the end. That comes from a book called Lashon HaKodesh by Reuven Chaim Klein. Is extremely comprehensive on the whole subject. Anyway, looking at original Makoros. Now, so that was the first suggestion is the Torah was given originally in Ksav Ivri V'Loshna Kodesh. Ksav Ivri is the lower one on this chart that you have in front of you, which is very, very different from the Ksav we are used to. And whenever you see pictures of coins of days gone by, it's always in Ksav Ivri. And Lashon HaKodesh, then the Torah was given again in Ksav Ashuris, the one we're familiar with, this Ksav that we have today, V'Loshon Arami. But Lashon has changed as well. B'ur Lehem Yisrael, Ksav Ashuris V'Loshon HaKodesh. Klal Yisrael chose the best of both worlds. They chose Ksav Ashuris and Lashon HaKodesh. They chose the Ksav Ashuris, the Ksav we are familiar with, the fonts we are familiar with, and they chose Lashon HaKodesh Hebrew. V'Nichu Lehem Diotus Ksav Ivris V'Loshon Arami, and they left for the basically the everyday people, as it were, Ksav Ivrit Lashon Arami. So they left what appeared to be the inferior Ksav and the inferior language, Arami, they left it for others. Mana Diotis or Rav Chista or Kusoi. Rav Chista says the Diotis is the Kusoi, the Kusim. My Ksav Ivrit, what is Ksav Ivrit? Notice Rav Chista says this over here, Ksav Nivuno, which is basically, Rashi explains it to be a larger Ksav. There's much discussion about what that means. That's not really our topic. But Ksav Ivri is a different Ksav from the one that we have. As I say, Rashi says it's a larger Ksav. But certainly not as glorious or as rich, as we shall see, as our Ksav. That's the first view articulated by Mar Zutra and some say Mar Ukva. And there's a Tana brought to support. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Roya Yehoya Ezra Shetanosin Torah Ayla Dele Yisrael. Ezra was of the caliber the Torah could have been given via Ezra. In the Malek and Moshe, had Moshe been not got there first. Brings various, which is an amazing statement. Moshe Omer, Moshe Ola Elokim, but Ezra Omer, Moshe ascended to Hashem. With Ezra it says, who Ezra Ola mi Bavel? Ezra ascended from Bavel. So the same language is used, Ola Aliyah, Ma Aliyah Omer Kan Torah, Af Aliyah Omer Lahanan Torah. Just as when it says, Ola ascended in Shmos, it's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu ascending to receive the Torah. So the Aliyah referenced over here, when Ezra took Klal Yisrael up from Bavel, so that was also a reference to Torah. But Moshe Omer, okay, we won't go through all the various, we're going to jump to the next right over here. One second, the end of this paragraph. Even though the Torah was not given via Ezra, but the Ksav was changed by Ezra. The Maharal over here notes that normally, with other Levim, as we see in last week's parasha, Batanach Aleim Ruach Hashem. The language used from the Nevuah of other Levim as Hashem, as it were, that his spirit came down on them. It's a lotion of descent. Over here, with Moshe, who was of course unique amongst the Levim, and with Ezra, we have a lotion of ascent, language of ascent. And that's what the Gemara means over here, that they both shared this property of being able to raise Klal Yisrael and ascend, as it were. And therefore, that's hence the Gemara is not just using the language over here, but noting the singularity of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was, if one could say, the singularity was shared, but in the same way, Ezra had that same singularity, that in contrast to the Levim, there was a lot of aliyah of ascent, not simply descent. They were able to ascend to the Madregas as opposed to the Ruach HaLakim descending. And therefore the Gemara is not joking of him, and it says that Ezra was of the caliber to have the Torah given in his name, or through him. That didn't happen, but at least when it came to a change in Ksav, he was the agent for the change of Ksav. The Gemara now brings a pasuk from Ezra. Ksav anishtoven kusov aramis metagim aramis. And the language that was changed, the changed language was the language of Aramis and the Ksav of Aramis. Now over here, the language that was changed was the Ksav Aramis, the font of Aramis. The context of this isn't necessary to elaborate on now, but it's referring to a letter that was written by Bimei Ezra, and it refers to a letter written in a changed language. Now, if until now the Torah was given in Ksav Ivri, so the changed language implies it's changed to what we're now familiar with, which is Ksav Ashuris. Then the Gemara brings the famous episode of the Suda Belshazzar, when the hand appeared and wrote the prescription of the future of the empire, and it was written in a language no one could decipher. And to bring it on the other decipher, as Rashi brings the other Chachamim around at the time, how is it no one could decipher this language? It was clearly it was a Hebrew message or a message in a Hebrew Hebrew letters, but no one could decipher it. There was unfamiliarity. Daniel had some familiarity with it. So again, this is brought as a raya that there was a change. There was a change at this particular moment in time. Rashi says the change was from this very moment. The moment of this nes, the Suda of Belshazzar, that was the change. It was the change that from then on the Ksav changed. So, then the Gemara asked the obvious question, but...
what language was that on the wall?
That language was Arami, but the Ksav was Ashuris. Yeah.
And that was?
That was
new.
That was new.
That it was
Ashuris. According to his first opinion, it was new. Now, so then the Gemara brings what rights have they got to change the language? The Gemara brings a passing in Pasha. Shoftim v'kosavish Mishnah Terazos, which is actually the reason why this whole Gemara comes into Sanhedrin, which is talking about when the king has to have two Sifrei Torah. And first the Gemara uses the Lashon Mishnah as reference to two Sifrei Torah. Here it uses it as Shana, Ksav Haroi Lishtanos, a language which was destined to change, or was going to be suitable to change. So the Gemara says, therefore, you can see that it was always supposed to be changed at some stage. It's just at this point in time, it was that was going to change. Why is it called Ksav Ashuris? Says the Gemara, Lama Nikra Ashuris, Sha'ala Imaim Ashur, that emerged from Assyria. How Ashur had it is difficult to understand, but it emerged from Ashur. That's the Gemara's first view, and the view that is most surprising, really. If one's not familiar with it, most surprising. The implication is the Sefer Torah, the Luchos, the Bris, were given not in the Ksav we are familiar with, but given in Ksav Ivri, and only later on they were changed by Ezra to Ksav Ashuris. Ezra, in fact, made a double change, Ksav Ashuris and Lashon Arami. Klal Yisrael wanted to take the best of both worlds, and therefore they selected Ksav Ashuris and Lashon HaKodesh. Now, in fact, we will come back to it if we have time. Reuven Margulies, in his Sefer Mikra Masora, he explains that, as we would understand, Ksav Ashuris is the superlative Ksav. Lashon HaKodesh is a superlative language. That combination is such a Kodesh combination that it couldn't be maintained side by side. That's why originally, according to this view, it's Ksav Ivri and Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh as a superlative language, but Ksav Ivri as the non-superlative language. And then when Ezra came to make his change, once he changed, for reasons we shall see, into Ksav Ashuris, so he couldn't maintain Lashon HaKodesh, because that combination was too holy to be maintained. And therefore, in fact, he changed it, Ksav Ashuris, Lashon Arami, but Klal Yisrael wanted the best of both worlds, and therefore, you're looking lost. Okay, let's just summarize this first shitter. The first shitter, in its basic form, is the Torah was given in Lashon HaKodesh with Ksav Ivri. That's the basics of the moment. And later on, Ezra changed it to Ksav Ashuris and Lashon Arami, and Klal Yisrael did, as we have today, Ksav Ashuris, our Ksav, our font, as it were, our script as we have today, and Lashon HaKodesh. That is the first shitter in the Gemara here. And the second shitter, which is Rebbe, no less, I'm going to summarize the second shitter. He says that, in fact, we'll do a couple of lines. Mitchina ksav ze nitna tolishol. He says, no, originally the Torah was given in Loshen in ksav ashuris, as it was, as we have it, that's how it was. Kiven shechotu nepech lam l'reyes. Once Klal Yisrael sinned in the time of the first base of Mikdash, so then it was changed to a ksav l'reyes, different ways of translating it. Rashi translates it as tirat oyev, like a fragmented ksav, or a broken ksav. In other words, an inferior ksav, ksav ivis. We'll come back to that. Kiven shechazru bahen, hitziru lahen. Once Klal Yisrael came back, we made Ezra, and there was a process of coming back, and a Truma process as well. So then it was returned to them. So the second shitter is that it was given in Ksav Ashuris, as the Luchas were given in Ksav Ashuris, and then Klal Yisrael lost Ksav Ashuris, which was a superlative Ksav at the time when they sinned, at the time of Chorban Bayis, Rishon. And then, so they lost it for a period of time, and then it was given back to them, which explains why it was that no one could decipher it. And in times of Bavel, and they needed Daniel to decipher it, they'd lost touch with the Ksav Ashuris, and then it was returned to them when it became Ezra. And why is it called Ksav Ashuris? So now it's not because it came from Ashur, from Assyria, Shemur Sheris Ksav, because it's a laudable Ksav, it's a beautiful Ksav. So therefore it sees the Loshen Ashur is not in terms of its geographical location, but description of its quality. It's a laudable Ksav. The third view, which is a view that I think most of us would assume, before coming across this Gemara, is there's never been any changes. No changes. The third view, which is Rabbi Elazar Medoy, there's been no changes at all. It was always given in Ksav Ashuris, and we've always had Ksav Ashuris, and that's it. Never been given anything else. Interesting raya brought for the third view is that the hooks in the Mishkan are called the Vavim. Vavim is a letter Vav. Now, those of you who have a chart in front of you will see that the letter Vav in Ksav Ashuris looks like a hook. In Ksav Ivri, doesn't look like a hook. Looks more like a catapult, according to one of the versions, but it doesn't look like a hook. Therefore, since the Vavim were called Vavim, like the letter Vav, that only fits if they had the form of the letter Vav as we know it today. So therefore, those are essentially the three views in the Gemara. View number one, it was given in Ksav Ivri and Lashon HaKodesh. Let's just focus on the Ksav. Ksav Ivri. View number two, the view of Rebbe, it was given in Ksav Ashuris, but they lost it when they sinned. Right? And then it was returned to them in Ezra. View number three, Melazar Medoy says, no, there's never been any change. It's given in Ksav Ashuris, and that's how it remained through. Melech Manel, often art here on the place, he says straight away, we pass him like the third view, that's how we take on Allah, we pass him like the third view, that's his view. Now, then we come to a Gemara in Megillah. Gemara in Megillah, again, the context isn't immediately critical. The Gemara in Megillah says, quote Shalchistah. Actually, the Gemara in Megillah suggests that the Nevi'im were machadesh certain letters, and the Mem Nun Tzari Pei Chof, they were machadesh. And the Gemara then challenges that by saying as follows. How can you say the machadesh those letters? We have a view of Rav Chista that the Mem and the Samach in the Luchos stood b'nes. The Luchos, we know, were hewn all the way through. Now, to hew the final mem all the way through means basically you've got a piece in the middle which is not attached to nothing. That piece would fall through. And therefore, these letters were written b'nes, the mem and the samach. That's the view of Rav Chista. The mem and the samach were written b'nes. But they're b'nes. Right? B'nes are yomdim. Right? That's the Lashon of the Gemara. They stood b'nes. Now, says the Gemara, now says the Ritva and others, hang on a second, that is only true if the Ksav of the Luchas was Ksav Ashuris. Because those of you who have got a chart in front of you will note that in Ksav Ivri, there's no need for a nes for the Mem and the Samach. The only letter which is definitely needs a nes is the Ayin. The Ayin needs a nes, there's no need for a nes in the Mem and the Samach because it's a different type of shape and it doesn't have that round shape. Only the Ayin has that round shape. So first, this Gemara, Rav Chista, which is quoted in other places as well, would imply that the Luchos were written unequivocally in Ksav Ashuris. Because otherwise, how can Rav Chista suggest that the Mem and Samach require a nes? It's not a Mem and Samach. And by the way, note, here in the yellow, that this is Rav Chista again. But curiously enough, it's Rav Chista who commented and elaborated on the view of Marukva, the very first view we had in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. which was Marufa, which says the luchos were given in Ksav Ivri. It was Elchista who twice actually elaborated on what that means. Ksav Ivri, Ksav Livona. If Elchista did not subscribe to that view, it's interesting that a stranger, Elchista, would come in, as it were, it looks like, in support of that view, an elaboration of that view. So we have two questions. Number one, this quote of Elchista by itself, the fact that Memon Samach B'nei Soyo Omdin, only works if the luchos were given in Ksav Ashuris. Only works, and this is a view that's quoted in many places without being contested. And secondly, it's Rav Chista again. Rav Chista himself supported the first view, Marufa, and yet over here appears to be stating a view which is inconsistent with that. So that is the kashas of the Ritva and the Radvaz. Ritva also asks, as we would expect, and the Radvaz also asks this, we know both the Radvaz quotes from the Zohar, the Ritva quotes is just Dava Yodua, that there are so many halachas that are learnt out from the Kesorim, from the crowns of the letters, and the only Ksav Ashuris has these various crowns, Gemara Menachos, the crowns of the letters, only Ksav Ashuris has these various crowns. And that appears to be that Ksav Ashuris is the holy Ksav. It's difficult to imagine that Torah wasn't given in the primary Ksav, in the superlative Ksav. So these are the various kashas they ask. Number one, view of Rav Chista. Number two, the Sturin of Chista. Number three, the Kedusha of the letters. Another kasha Rav Vaz asked, which is interesting. According to the first view, that the Torah was given in Sav Ivri, then the Gemara goes on to say, in B'mei Ezra, they then adopted Sav Ashuris, and they relegated Ksav Ivri to the Hediotis, to the vernacular. Very strange, they would relegate the Ksav in which the Torah was given. Even if it's not as glorious as Ksav, Ksav Ashuris, at the end of the day, if that's the Ksav in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, very strange, they should relegate the Ksav for everyday use and let go of that. These are various kashas that are asked by the Ritva and the Radvaz and others. Now, so the Ritva suggests as follows. The Ritva says, I won't go through it now, we have it in front of you. The Ritva says, there's no question about it, that the luchos were given in Ksav Ashuris. There's no question about it. The luchos were given in Ksav Ashuris and in Lashon HaKodesh. But he says, Me'olam lo nira ha-ksav ha-hu ela b'luchos. However, he says, that Ksav only appeared on the luchos. I'm actually quoting that line because I saw in one of the articles on this topic, he quotes the Ritva suggesting that the Sefer Torah also written in Ksav Ashuris. I haven't found that. I can't see that in Ritva. Here he says, the luchos were given in Ksav Ashuris. Only the luchos. But, we're given Ksav Ashuris and Lashon HaKodesh. But because of the Kedusha of Ksav Ashuris and this combination, so therefore, everything else was written in Ksav Ivri. Everything else was written in Ksav Ivri. Everything else was written in Ksav Ivri. As I say, I did see quoted something slightly different, but I've seen it elsewhere, which we'll come to, but not in the Ritva, as far as I can see. So therefore, that's the first view, that in fact, the whole discussion only begins post-Luchos. The whole discussion between the various Tanoim and the Amoraim only begins post-Luchos. But the Luchos, according to all views, even according to the first view, were written in Ksav Ashuris. That is the statement of the Ritva. And therefore, just the Luchos. The Luchos were in Ksav Ashuris, but it was not a language for everyday use, even for learning from. And therefore,
nobody would know what it means.
What is it?
Nobody would understand it.
Which would explain why it was that later on Daniel had to interpret it. Because it wasn't a Ksav that was familiar to the everyday man.
So 1,000 people at the time of Matan Torah, nobody knew what it meant?
Well, if you look at the Radvaz later on, Radvaz suggests that they possibly couldn't even look at it. If they couldn't look at the face of Moshe Rabbeinu, they could hardly look at the Ksav of the Luchos. So, but that's the view of the Ritva and also the Radvaz. The Radvaz actually goes on to say... In fact, he asks, the Radvaz goes on to say that therefore it was, however, Ksav Ashuris in its interpretation was handed down Ish Pi Ish, through the Gedolei Hadar was handed down Ish Pi Ish, and that is why selected individuals were familiar with Ksav Ashuris, and that is why when it came to the Suda, the Belshazzar, so it was Daniel who was brought in to interpret it, because he was one of the people who had received the Kabbalah Ish Pi Ish. Actually, interestingly enough, the Radvaz makes a I'll come back to one point in a second, sorry. That is the view of Ravaz. In which case, asked Ravaz, Mimnei Rov Kudushase, no Nitin Rashus Moshe Benishi, if because of his Kudusha, Moshe Benishi wasn't given the right to write in this, and even to give it to the Shvatim, how is it that Ezra was given permission for this? How is it Ezra was given permission for this? It's very good question. So he says that, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Tzachar Kol Beria. Since Ezra was of the caliber through whom the Torah could be given, therefore, when it came to a need to change the Ksav, therefore he was given permission for this, which is a remarkable permission. That's what the Gemara means. Yes, it was a hischachus in Torah b'mei Ezra, and that he was allowed now to introduce the Ksav into to the people for use in everyday, well, I'm going to say in learning, certainly, and even other things. That is, therefore, what the Ravaz says. The Maral over here in Sanhedrin, it says a very interesting idea. It says that that Ezra asks on this question, I'm pushing further in terms of why was it that Ezra was given this permission. He says there was a fundamental difference between Ezra and Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra, Moshe Rabbeinu, the medium of communication was Bakol, Hashem Yanele Bakol. That was the door where it was communicated Bakol. Now, whereas Ezra was Ezra HaSofer. That was the door where the Torah was disseminated, not so much Bakol, but Baksav. He says that language is what he calls tziur hasichli. Tziur hasichli means the format of the intellect. If you have words in front of you, you actually don't need to articulate to be able to absorb. You can just read and use the mind. You don't need to use the pep. Even though it's better than learning to use the pep, but in terms of your basic absorption of the material, you don't need the pep for that. You've got the ksav in front of you. And therefore he calls it, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the format was kol. And therefore it was Lashon HaKodesh, but the Ksav was secondary according to this first view. In the days of Ezra, where the format was, where it was Ezra HaSofer, the way of disseminating Torah, and Ezra was Ezra HaSofer, therefore, for him, what was necessary was the best form of Ksav. Best form of Ksav, him being the exponent by Ksav, and therefore he was given permission to use Ksav Ashuri. That's what the Maral suggests.
One chain.
The change was appropriate for the generation because the methodology of communicating Torah changed. Therefore, appropriately,
why did that change?
I don't know.
Because Ezra looked like
why that was needed for that door, I don't know. There is a Maran in Tiferes Yisrael, which I haven't looked up to, in Perek Samach Dalet. I believe he says more about it, but why then I don't know. But. Okay, only so far as to say that this was a door of tshuva in some respects. Like we find at the beginning of the Gemara over here, Moshe Rabbeinu elevated the door, and Ezra then elevated his door and rebuilt the second base of Midrash, was instrumental in that, and therefore it seems that was appropriate. There should be a new Nesinas HaTorah, as it were. More than that, I don't know. Okay, now, the problem is... This is ambitious to do in half an hour. The problem is, and now the Ravaz says a very unequivocal language. Ravaz says it's worthwhile noting. Sof davar ein datim mekabel v'sovel. It's inconceivable. She is shum tana amoira sover shazer haksav hashuri v'schadish legami v'me'ezra. It's inconceivable that any tana amoira could say that this ksav hashuri was innovated in the days of Ezra. Inconceivable, says the Ravaz. However, the problem is there is a Gemara in Megillah in Yerushalmi. And the Gemara in Yerushalmi, which is very similar to our Gemara, but it brings something slightly different. It brings the idea that the name of Rabbi Levi, that the letters stood in the Luchos B'nais, but it brings two versions of which letters stood in Nais. And it says as follows. Either if you learn that the Torah was given Maksab Ivri, then the letters stood with Nais is Ayin. If ever you learn letters giving Ksav Ashuri, then Ashuris, then the letters to Bnei's is Samach. So here we have a view that says all the way back to the Luchos. This debate goes all the way back to the Luchos. It doesn't just start post-Luchos. It goes all the way back to the Luchos. And the Ravaz has said that it's inconceivable there's a Tana and a Mora that can suggest such a view. So this Kasha is asked by none other than the Ravaz himself. Ravaz himself, as his piece continues, asks this, and he says when he originally wrote the initial shtickle on the Gemara Sanhedrin, he hadn't seen this Gemara Yerushalmi, suggests that Ridva hasn't seen the Yerushalmi as well, which is interesting because Ridva quotes this Yerushalmi, suggests that Ein Yaakov, they suggest that Ridva hasn't seen it, and others. So here we find that the debate goes all the way back to the Lucas itself. So our suggestion that the debate only begins post-Luthers is no longer viable, according to Srishami.
Why doesn't Srishami mention the men as well?
I don't know. Says the summer. Don't know.
And you've got a test in the old sun as well, which would also be benessed. The test was also a round thing.
The test was, but the test has got the, you've got a little bit of space in the middle.
No, that's in Ksava Shura.
I see, in the Ksava
Shura. The ancient Ksava.
Right.
This is also one of those letters that would have to be. Right. I think what it means is that the equivalent.
Right, so the Radvaz suggests that maybe.
The Mem was the Endemem.
But the Radvaz. The Radvaz himself suggests maybe these are just Simonim Ba'alma, they're not supposed to be the complete list. He himself rejects that. One of the reasons he rejects that is why I give two examples of it, just a Simon Ba'alma. Just a Simon Ba'alma. We give one example, the Bavli gives one example, the Shami gives one example, but the Bavli gives two examples. The Radvaz himself doesn't consider that to be a suitable terrace. So, the Radvaz himself then suggests as follows. There's a chilek between the first Luchas and the second Luchas. First Luchas and second Luchas. The first Luchas, before the Chet of Klal Yisrael at the Egel, the first Luchas were given in Ksav HaShuris. No question about it. But then Klal Yisrael sinned, and he says, Ksav HaShuris is there. He writes that every single letter exemplifies the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, singularity of Hashem, and therefore it was incompatible with the Egel. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, and saw Klal Yisrael dancing around the eagle, so therefore the letters couldn't remain down here. Therefore the letters flew up the Mila, because they couldn't come down into an environment where Klal Yisrael were doing things that were incompatible with the letters, which exemplify, which express the idea of Yichud Hashem. Therefore he makes a difference between the first and Luchos. Therefore he says the whole debate, I've had there's a debate about the Luchos, certainly according to Yerushalmi, so debates about the Luchos, but he says the debate is only from the second Luchos. The debate is only from the second Luchos, not from the first Luchos. The first Luchos, he maintains still, that everybody says, was written in Ksav HaShuris, no question about it. The question is from the second Luchos and onwards. This would now explain a little bit, as he himself does, why Bimei Ezra, Ksav HaShuris was then reintroduced. Because Bimei Ezra, the Chacham at the time, davened for the eradication of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Once Avodah Zarah was out of the way, then Ksav HaShuris could be successfully reintroduced without any thinking of clash between one Ksav and the other. Therefore, that's... Okay, so that Gemara in Benachos is seen both ways. That's, I can't remember who says that, but someone says that, you can see how Ksav HaShuris is. On the other hand, the Brisker Rav, which I brought over here, says, on the contrary, you can learn that Gemara to see that Moshe Rabbeinu was not familiar with that Ksav. Moshe Rabbeinu was not familiar with that Ksav. In fact, he brings that Gemara as a proof. The Gemara brings in Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai, and he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns to letters. Right, that's right. And he said, arranged in Loshen, Mima Akev Ayodcha, why are you not giving it to me? The Brisker Rav learns that Loshen to mean that it wasn't given to him. And Gemara says that he saw a Bekiva, it was given to Bekiva at a later stage. But on the contrary, that Gemara is brought as a proof both ways.
So the second
Luchos
were in...
According to the Radvaz, the second Luchos were in Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri. Just to finish off, we're running out of time now, but I'm going to throw a couple of things. But, in the end, I haven't seen it yet inside, the Sefer Yekorim learns the Gemara B'Pashtus, that Marzucha that is Ksav Ivri. Many learn in Rashi B'Pashtus, although if you look through the Radvaz, if you have time, you'll see that Radvaz has a diuk in Rashi to support his view. The Gemara itself could be learnt in support of the view that the Luchos remained in Ksav HaShuris, because the Gemara says, Mitchila nitna Torah li-Yisrael. It doesn't say Luchos li-Yisrael, Torah li-Yisrael, which would possibly be as broad as a diuk to support the view that the Luchos were given in Ksav HaShuris, certainly the first Luchos. But when it came to writing the Sefer Torah, they were written in Ksav Ivri. Okay, just the final thing to go in, because it's so intriguing, Reuven Margolius brings, that's a very remarkable episode in Tanakh, in the times of King Yoshiyahu HaMelech, right, the righteous King Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who tried to undo all the damage of his father and grandfather, and they come across the Sefer Torah in the Pashtus and the Loshon of the Tanakh, as they weren't familiar with it. They weren't familiar with the Sefer Torah, which is unbelievable. What about our whole Masorah? So Reuven Margolius learns, he brings that it could be that the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, a slight variation of the Radvaz. That it wasn't just the Luchos that were given in Ksav HaShuris, but that Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah was also in Ksav HaShuris. Ksav Ashuris. Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah was also in Ksav Ashuris. So it was the Luthers and Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah given in Ksav Ashuris. And therefore, it's Medayak in the Pasuk, because it says, Vehi Kishmoy HaMelech is Divrei Sefer HaTorah. When he saw the words of the Torah. Not just Sefer Torah, Sefer HaTorah. In other words, as follows, there's no question about it, the Masorah was intact. But they found this Sefer Torah, which was the original Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they weren't familiar with its Ksav. That's why they couldn't read it. They weren't familiar with its Ksav. So the Masorah was intact, but the Ksav was kept from Kodesh Kedoshim, and therefore that's why they weren't familiar with it.
Good. Can we have these letters?